Okay, Chevra, last time we focused on the Shitas HaRishonim in the Din of Dam Besulim. Today I'd like to talk about some of the Lamaisa applications of Dam Besulim in terms of what happens on the wedding night, under which situations the woman is Tamei, under which situations she's Tahora. So the Ramah in Kuf Tzadi Gimel tells us that even though the Rishonim Paskin that we are choshesh for dam besulim, whether ra'as adam or lo ra'as adam, whether she saw blood or not, but yesh mekilim im lo ra'as adam. There are some who are mekal if the woman did not see dam. Now, in the footnotes, they point this out from the Hagos Maimini b'shem ikamanda omar, but this is also, the Hagos Maimini there is quoting from the Ravid, and this is the last Ravid in the Shar HaPrisha, where the Ravid quotes some manda amrim who are mekal im lo ra'as adam. And then the Rama adds, v'nahagu lahakel im lo gamar biya rak heraba. The minig is lahakel if it wasn't gamar biya, if it's only what's called hara'a v'lo ra'as adam. Avon ba'ala biya mamish. Tzach lifrosh mimena afo pisha lo ra'as adam. In other words, the minhag is that if it is a hara'a, if it's a partial biya, and there is no dam, right? Like whenever I teach chasanim, this is like a point that you stress. She's muteres, or you're both muter zebazeh, we should, right? You're both muter zebazeh if it was a partial bia, and there is no re'ias dam. However, if there is re'ias dam, so she becomes a nida. And even if there's no re'iyas dam, if it's a bia gemura, you become a nida. And then the Rama adds this line, the bal nefesh yachush la'atmo shelo lischok b'tinokes. A bal nefesh should be machmir for himself not to play around with a tinokes ad kan divrei harama. Now, the Ravid, who is really the trigger of this whole conversation, because this daya that there are some who are mekel without re'iyas dam is the Ravid, and l'cha'ora the pshat in the Ramah is that the Ramah is mitztaref the Ravid only when there is a ha'ara'a, not when there's a gemar bia. Right? That's l'cha'ora the pshat in the Ramah. Now, if you look in the Ravid himself in the Sefer Balei HaNefesh, first the Ravid quotes that some are machmir when there is no re'iyas dam. Then the Ravid says, Ikamanda Amar, that are Mekel. And the Ravid writes that you can be Mekel like this Ikar Manda Amar because the din is Dirabanan. But, Zak the Ravid, Vihu, Debodka Shapir, Vibayas Hachitzon, Velochaz Yashumad Mumis. Kibidikas Hazava. Zak the Ravid, the Kula only is if the woman did a bedika after the bia. In other words, if you have a bia without re'iyas dam. Now, for the Ravid, this is true even if it's a bia gemura without re'iyas dam. No? If you have even a bia gemura without re'iyas dam, the Ravid says you can be mekel, but only if she did a bedika afterwards, kibedikas hazava. Remember, the Ravid famously told us that there are three different types of bedikos. Now, there's a bedika for ksamim, which is an external bedika entirely. Then there is a bedika for nida and zava, which is an internal bedika, but does not require chorin ustakin. And then there is a bedika that requires chorin ustakin, which is the bedika l'taharos. We point out that there's a little bit of a gersology issue within the Ravid as to whether the Ravid is focusing on Ad Makom Shasham Ashtash or the Bedikah of Chorin Ustakin. You get an impression from this Ravid, Sof Shar Ha Prisha, that Le Nida and Le Zava, you just need a Bedikah that's internal, right? That's all that the Ravid is saying. He's not saying that you need internal and Ad Makom Shasham Ashtash. Okay, that's a minor point. But based on this comes along the work Megillas Sefer, who is one of the great heroes of the Jewish people. We love the Megillas Sefer. It's a really good Sefer, no? Megillas Sefer? Like, he's great. On Basar B'chov Yerodeya, there's a Megillas Sefer that just came out now, someone got for me as a gift. A Megillas Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, which we have to look at, which is probably going to like totally change all of Torah. So the Megillah Sefer points out that he thinks that you can only be Mekal if there is a Bedika that was done afterwards. Meaning, since the Ramah is being Mekal, Behitz Taref, the Ravid who says that Hecha Shalora Asadam, she's Muteres, with those opinions, the Ha'ara'a is not a Gemar Bia. That's basically a Tzirif Hashitas of the Ramah. So you have to get the Ravid properly, which means you can only be Mekal if the woman did a Bedika after. That's what the work Megillas Sefer says. Minhag is clearly Nitazoi. By the way, in the work Mishmeres HaTahara, he actually noted this already. It's in Sif Kutin Yud of the Mishmeres HaTahara. And Mishmeres HaTahara points out that Lamaisa, he thinks that you could be Megal, because maybe the Pshat in the Ramah is something totally different, which is really what the Sidrei Tahara notes in Os Gimel at the end. It's like Os Gimel and Sidrei Tahara, Diba HaMaschil Va'adayin, until the end of the Shtikl Torah, where the Sidrei Tahara develops the following idea. Tosfos asks a stira. On the one hand, the din of Dam Basulim is based on the fact that the Isha, that maybe they only had Ha'ara'a. On the other hand, we know Ha'ara'a is Lo Shchicha, no? So Tosis really asks Akasha, when is Ha'ara'a considered Shchicha? When is Ha'ara'a considered Lo Shchicha? Zok Tosfos, let's say it again. There is an opinion in the Rashba that the din of Dan Basulim is based on Hataya. Hataya means that maybe the husband was able to have a convoluted sort of diagonal type of Bia that is not Mashir the Basulim, right? Question, is Hara'a Shchicha or is Hara'a Lo Shchicha? Tosfos already on Samach Dalet and Nida raises the question, is Hara'a Shchicha or is Hara'a Lo Shchicha? It is Hatoya. I keep on saying that. It's past my bedtime. Is Hatoya Shchicha or is Hatoya Lo Shchicha? Tosfos already raises this question. And for Tosfos, if it is Hatoya with a Gemar Bia, that's Lo Shchiach. That's only Shmuel who's Rav Guvrei. But if you have a Hatoya with a Ha'ara'a, if you have Hatoya with an incomplete, with a partial Bia, that is Shchicha. Point one. Point two is that Hatoya, right? So basically what the Sidrei Tahara is developing from these Tosfos is that Hatoya is going to be Shchicha by a Ha'ara'a, and therefore we are going to say that maybe the husband did some sort of Hatoya. We pointed out from the Rashba that you did a Hatoya, that we're more worried that the dam that came out is dam nida. It's not dam basulim. Yeah, but that's only if dam came out. So memeila, what emerges from the Sidrei Tahara's presentation is that if I have a hatoya, right, and hatoya is shchiach when it's a ha'ara'a, so therefore, unless dam comes out, I am not worried that she's a nida. As such, Zok the Sidrei Tahara, maybe that's the pshat in the Ramah. In other words, the Ramah might be quoting this Ravid that Koshalo Ra'asadam were not Choshesh, but that's Tamazoi a Deya that the Ramah quotes. The Minhag that the Ramah follows up with, which is that we are Mako by Hatoya. The meaning that the Ramah follows up with, that we are mako by ha'ara'a, we are mako by incomplete bia, that minag is because by ha'ara'a, hatoya is shchiach, right? And once by ha'ara'a, hatoya is shchiach, so therefore, if she doesn't see dam, I'm not worried that anything came out. If, right? If it is a Gemar Bia, so then we assume Hatoya is Lo Shchiach. and presumably there was dam. And once there was dam, we're worried that chifahu shechvas zera, right? But if it's a ha'ara'a, so then I say that there was a hataya, and perhaps there was zero dam whatsoever, and therefore we are not going to be machmir. So the pshat in the Ramah is really circumventing the Ravid, and as such, you can be mako even without a bedika afterwards, no? The minhag is that no one does bedika after this first bia, no? Rabbi Neuberger, I think, says when you teach it. Does Rabbi Neuberger still teach chasanim? Rabbi Neuberger taught chasanim when he taught me. He said that if your wife wants to do a bedika before bia rishona or after bia rishona, call me even at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell her not to. That's the way Rabbi Neuberger used to say it. There's a whole discussion in Siman Kuf Pei Vav about bedikas kaidim tashmish and achra tashmish, no? Basically, the practice is, the Shach says over there that we don't do any bedikos, call them tashmish, no? In certain communities, they do bedikos three times, kaidim tashmish, but that's only once the dam basulim issue has been resolved.
After
until
tashmish.
What?
I mean after tashmish.
They do bedikos, according to the Rambam, after tashmish.
No, and the Shulchan Aruch is the three first times after tashmish.
The Shulchan Aruch is like the Rambam, and then there are certain communities that they're machmi even on bedikos kodim tashmish, right? There's certain communities that machmi even bedikas kodim tashmish. The bedikas achar tashmish, the three times, correct. The three times is done achar tashmish.
But there are really communities that are
machmi on the Rambam? The Rambam holds kodim tashmish and achar tashmish?
But that's every time you ever have tashmish.
Right, no, so no one is machmi like that. But there's certain communities who are machmi that once dam basulim has been resolved, we do a bedika achar tashmish three times to avoid the issue
that's
of... Right? There's some communities who are machmir on that. We'll say it. That's the Pashas and the Mechaber, and the Shach disagrees. Right? Yeah? Okay. Got it. So now, one second. The fact is, no one is going to do a bedika achar tashmish by Bia Rishona.
I mean,
even though, if you assume that we're relying on this Ravid, and the Ravid is only Mekel with a Bedika Achar Tashmish, right? No, it's the Ravid is Mekel when it's Lo Ra Asadam. But the Ravid says that's only when there's a Bedika. Nonetheless, I don't think anyone encourages a woman to do a Bedika Achar Bia Rishona.
If you had full Bia, then it doesn't matter.
For the Ravid, it would. For the Ravid, it would matter.
Yeah, but Lamaisa, according to her, saying no, it's okay.
She understand, but...
Make five Bedikas.
Correct. Fine. We're saying the same thing.
Okay.
I think
maybe then she has to wait 5 days.
Five, if she becomes, instead of 4 days.
Yeah.
If you assume that you hold like the Taz,
yeah,
even though the Shach argues on the Taz, but okay. Let's just go slowly. I think we're getting confusing over here. We're going to try to streamline this so we don't get confused. Barry.
Why was Rav Neuberger very against that during the Bedika?
It causes problems. Because she ends up getting very nervous and making herself a nida when she doesn't have to, etc.
She might do a bedika, like scratch herself. Or that.
Yes. Yes. Now, the kitter, right? The Ravid holds that even gemar bia, we're going to be makel if it's lo rasa. If you assume that the Ravid is part of the tziruf of the Ramos and you have to do a bedika afterwards, but the minig is that we don't do a bedika afterwards, that's point aleph that we want to make. Point base that we want to make is when the Ramos says that we are meko on ha'ara'a but not gemar bia. In other words, we are meko on ha'ara'a when there is no dam. How do we define ha'ara'a? No? So the Gemara in Yevamis has a machlokes, where the definition of hara'a is nishikas evarim. Nishikas evarim means that the penis touches the vagina, just a nishika. That is one opinion in the Gemara. The other opinion in the Gemara is that the definition of hara'a is hachnosis atara, which is that the crown of the penis penetrates. Now, the Sidrei Tahara has a discussion. How do we understand these opinions? We paskin in Evan as a Simen Chaf that the definition of Ha'ara'a is Hachnasa Satara. We reject the opinion of Nishika Sevarim. We paskin Hachnasa Satara. But do we assume that when you have Hachnasas Atara, it's considered Ha'ara'a, even though it's Hachnasas Atara, even though the crown of the penis enters, and some of the shaft of the penis enters, it's still called Hachnasas Atara? Or do we say that once the crown of the penis and some of the shaft of the penis enters, that's already considered Gemar Bia? Or there's a third opinion that I say, once the crown of the penis and rove of the penis enters, at that point it becomes Gemar Bia. So there are three possibilities, no? One possibility is that in order to be called Gemar Bia, you need the entire shaft of the penis entering. Opinion number two is that once you have rove that enters, we'll paskin rubo kakulo, like kalatoy rakula. Opinion number three is that whenever I have the crown of the penis plus a teeny, teeny drop afterwards, that is also considered Gemar Bia. Because I defined what the halacha is in terms of Ha'ara'a, but what is considered Gemar Bia is left undefined. Now, Evan Ezachov paskins that Hachnasas Atara is Ha'ara'a, but at what point does it become Gemar Bia that is left undefined? The Sidri Tahara wants to be very makel here. Sidri Tahara assumes that may ha'ara'a ad hachnasas kol ha'ever is still considered ha'ara'a. Meaning, according to the Sidri Tahara, the only time it's called Gemar Bia is when the entire shaft of the penis enters. Short of that, it is considered ha'ara'a. That's the Sidri Tahara. The Noida B'Yehuda, in a different context, the Noida B'Yehuda writes that when you have the Atara, when you have the crown that enters, plus a little bit of the Gid, that's called Gemar Bia rather than Hara, no? The Noida B'Yehuda is discussing a case of whether an Isha becomes Asura on her husband. A case of a woman having an affair. Now, we pass in B'chala Terekola, the Ha'ara is like Gemar Bia, and a woman will become Asura to her husband with Hara also. But the Noda Yehuda decides in that Tshuva A, I want to define what Ha'ara is. And the Noda has two important Chidushim. Chidush number one is that whatever is a little more than the crown of the penis is called Gemar Bia. Chiddush number two that the Noda Yehuda says is that the labia of a woman has no halachic significance. Meaning to say that there are dinim of bia derech evarim. Or it's just like messing around, basically. That's not halachically bia. You're just playing around. So if the penis enters the labia, that is halachically considered nothing, the Noda Yehuda says. When the penis enters the vagina, so Zakhni Noda B'Yehuda, he thinks it's called Gemar Bia once the penis plus a teeny bit of the shaft enters. Some Svarim want to be Machmir for this Noda B'Yehuda. In the work Mishmeres Hatara, he argues that even the Noda B'Yehuda might not be speaking about the case of Dan Basulam, which is Kokulo Midrabanan. The Noda Yehuda might be talking about the case of an Isha who becomes Asura on her husband, no? In that case, the Noda Yehuda had a more machmir definition of Gemar Bia. But by the Din D'Rabbanan of Dan Basulim, even the Noda Yehuda might maintain that Mehachnasas Atara Ad Gemar Kol Habia, until the entire Afer enters, is still called Ha'ara'a. La Halacha, there are some Svarim who are Machmir. The Beis Shlomo is Machmir, and Rav Wozner sounds like he's Machmir like this also, L'maisa, even though Me'ikar had din, he assumes not like that, but the Minig L'maisa, he says is to be machmir, and even the Mishmeres Atara sounds like they are, sounds like he is machmir in Lamaisa, that once you know that rove of the Aver entered, we'll treat it like Rubo Kikulo, and we'll assume that she becomes Asura to her husband. Right? In other words, even if there is no dam, right, when there's a Bia Gemura, she becomes Asura. What's considered Bia Gemura? Sidre Tahara sounds like you need Kulo Kikulo. Noida Bihuda sounds like, in a different context, a tiny drop of the shaft. Some are Machmir, that Rubo Kikulo is enough. Now, when Rabbonim get these shaylos, it becomes a little bit graphic. But, okay, these are the dinim. We'll try to explain how we paskin in a minute. Yeah, you have a...
Rabbonim is like in the middle position?
What?
He's saying the middle
position. The... Who's the... Rabbonim is saying a middle position, right? Yeah, the back. Mordechai. Well, again, the Sidre Tahara, everyone's going to assume that there's some threshold where there is, right? Everyone is going to hold that there is some line that you cross that line, it's a Gemar Bia, sure, that line is not a Gemar Bia. So that kasha be asked on everybody. The answer is that most often, there's a certain range that's called Hara. Most often, Hara is done in a way that Hatoya could be Shriach. Right? Yeah. Eliran, you had a comment? I haven't seen a discussion about that. I think they're assuming, though, that that we discount the Atara. We're talking about Rove of the Shaft.
The rest.
Right? Rove of the Gid, yeah. I think so. But I did not see an explicit discussion of that, and any discussion that would be relatively explicit, but I did not see that, yeah. Yeah, Josh?
I was always under the impression that Hataya was that the Aver was going into
So I thought Hatoya is that you're like missing the Basulim. That you're going in a diagonal sort of way and the Basulim remain intact and you are having a Bia. And Hatoya with Hara'a is Shriach. Hatoya with Igmar Bia is Lo Shriach.
Is that physically possible?
What?
Is that physically possible?
So it is physically possible because different women have their Basulim in different places. For certain women it's closer to the outside. For other women it's further in. Some women have a larger opening, other women have a small opening, some men have a larger aver, others have a smaller aver. It is possible. There's so many variables that, yeah. Yeah, Avery?
Isn't by Nida to Aser Nida to her husband, isn't it like a Rambam that even the Shamish favor miss Aser's her, it's a case of Shachov, I think it's called?
Shachov, yeah, the Gemara in Sota speaks about Shachov.
Yeah, so
again, the Nodim Yehuda just in the context of this Shaila that came to him decided to write an essay.
Because for
husband, he doesn't need to. Yes. We actually once had a Shaila about this in Yeshiva, a very unfortunate Shaila. We were still the old Beis Medrash, so some guy left a piece of paper in Rav Schechter's shtender in the morning, and the paper said, please write the answer and drop it in locker number whatever. There used to be a locker room where the cloise is now, no? So the paper basically said that I was fooling around with my sister when we were young, and my penis entered her vagina a little bit, and we were just fooling around as kids, and I didn't think anything of it, but now I've been learning in yeshiva, and I realized that maybe my sister's Asura the Kohen, based on this, and my sister's actually dating a Kohen, what should I do? Which was like a real winner of a Shaila. So Rav Schechter like walks over, I used to learn with Tani Cohen in the afternoons, he's like crying, he's like, read this and like come up with an answer. So Lamaisa, the Svara Lahakel was based on that Noda Behuda, no? Because that same Noda Behuda argues that the labia is not considered anything. People who are not experienced with Bia don't know. In order to really penetrate beyond the labia, a woman has to spread her legs. If she's not spreading her legs, it's exceedingly difficult to penetrate beyond the labia without intense pain. as such. So, l'cha'ora, she's not going to be asura to a kohen, no? Because whatever, there's probably big issues there. But whatever was done, unless the woman, and she was like a little girl, I think she was 11 and he was 13 or something like that. It was like one of those situations. But she wouldn't be asura on the kohen because the pashtus is, that's what Rav Shechter felt based on the Behuda, that she didn't spread her legs. We sent the shayla afterwards to Rabbi Mendy Senderovic, that's Danny Rapp's uncle, who's like a Masader Gittin in Milwaukee. And there's a tshuva about it in, what are his firm called? He has like, He has on Shamos of Cities in Gittin, but he also has like tshuvas on Evan HaEzer topics. So he has a tshuva about this topic. And again, the Svar HaHakel is this No Debi Yehuda.
Back to Chodav would be Machmir, apparently.
Would be Machmir because he's...
He holds at the labia, that's the bias.
Oh, yeah. And the Hanami. Right? We go all the way back to the beginning of the year. Yeah. Now, Sidra Torah is very makel. Sidra Torah assumes... Unless the entire shaft of the penis enters, that's not called the marbi, it's still called hara'ah. And as such, without dam, you can be mekel. Now, if you read the Sidrei Tahara, though, Lamaisa, the Sidrei Tahara, doesn't seem like he's as big of a mekel as I'm presenting it, no? Lamaisa, Sidrei Tahara is only mekel if the woman is a tinokes or a nara. Because since the shita of the Rambam is that the din of Boel P'ilas Mitzvah Uporesh is only by a Bogeres. So Zok the Sidrei Tahara, you can be Mitztare for the Rambam, that by a Tinokes and a Nara, you don't need any Prisha, with his Svara, that until the Kulo Kikulo, until the entire shaft enters, it's not called Gemar Bia, but it's only by Mitztare the Rambam. So it would seem that for most of us who don't marry girls beneath the age of 12 and a half, and if you do, you'd probably be arrested. So if you're not marrying a girl beneath 12 and a half, l'cha'ora, the whole Sidrei Tahara is not relevant. No? Nonetheless, the Tzemach Tzedek in the Piskei Dinim and the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva, they... all are mekel. Now, they're quoting the Sidrei Tahara, but they don't distinguish between a bogeres and non-bogeres, which means that they are being mekel, that it's not called gemar bia until the entire shaft enters. And the Rashi Yeshiva here, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Neuberger, they all paskin that unless the entire shaft of the penis enters, the woman is not asura. And they also paskin, and this is something that the Mishmeres HaTahara quotes from Rebbe Yashiv, that in cases when the husband is not sure. Now, most often on the wedding night, the husband, or very often, I should say, the husband is really not sure. Baruch Hashem Yisrael Kedoshim Heim. And we don't know, in the secular world out there, remember Rabbi Savolovsky, when he gave me my chassan shmooze before I got married, he's like, yeah, in the secular world, you're like, look around the neighborhood, and like every 13-year-old guy and 12-year-old girl know exactly what to do. But Yisrael Kedoshim Heim, and Lamaisa, people don't really know what to do. It's not at all uncommon that on the wedding night there is no halachic gemar bia. Now, it's not uncommon because, first of all, we're not sure what we're doing. Second of all, it's dark, and even if you would be sure what you're doing, you can't really see how much went in. So, Lamaisa, we are mekel like the Sidrei Tahara, even by a Bogeres, like the Tzemach Tzedek says, and we assume that the woman has more neumonos on these matters than the man, just because of the positioning of the bodies. The halakhically preferred method to have bia is what they call in the secular world the matrimonial position, which is that the woman is on the bottom, the man's on top. And as a result of that position, the woman will know more than the man as to how much penetration there was. So, lamaisa, if there is no dam, halacha lamaisa, we are meko unless there was complete penetration. That is, I think, the... Now, the issue comes up The issue comes up in cases where they're sometimes using unusual positions. There are certain positions for Biya that are, I don't know, impossible, but highly unlikely that you can have the complete shaft enter. That becomes a shayla that should be asked if a couple is using a position other than the matrimonial position. So we'll say it like that. Yeah.
So we're just saying that if the man's not sure, but she can determine what.
If she won't be 100% sure either, but she might often say, you know what, I'm pretty confident there was still more that could have entered.
And then we trust her.
Yes. And if there's no dam, they can try again.
And if none of them, if they don't, let's say either of them don't know.
What?
Let's say either of them don't know.
If no one knows, so then also we're mekel, generally.
Pain,
so the svara of feeling pain, Reb Fivel Cohen and Sifkot Yotes quotes, and this is based on the Rama and Kuf Pei Zayin Yud Gimel, where the Rama discussing the halacha of Roa Damach Mestashmish. Roa Damach Mestashmish basically is a woman who sees blood by Tashmish Amita becomes a surah to her husband. But if we can attribute the blood to Dam Besulam, she doesn't become a surah to her husband. I can attribute every bia to dam basulim until there was a complete bia without any dam. That's the halacha. And then in that context, in Kuf Pei Zayin, pardon me, Yud Gimel, so the Rama says that if there was pain, we can still attribute it to dam basulim. No? So based on that svara, some poskim say that when there is pain, we assume that it is dam besulim, and therefore what? And therefore, even if it's not a bia gemura that you would define, in other words, we'd have to be more machmir. That's what the Badei HaShulchan and Sifkot in Yotes is quoting, because there's pain. Lemaisa, the pain svara is a little bit hard to understand, just practically speaking. You know, when you go to the hospital, Rahman al-Atslan, they have these different pictures of your face based on how much pain you have, how much of a frown, and how, you know what I'm talking about, those like those emoticons that they have hanging up in the hospital. How, like, some of the Achronim speak about if there's a lot of tsar versus a little bit tsar. How are magdir these things? I don't know.
But if you felt no pain, then it's unlikely.
If you felt no pain,
no
so yes and no, and I'll tell you why. Usually, they recommend chasanim and kalas to use lots and lots of lubricants the first bias. No? Generally, that's another reason, by the way, that you might not have any idea of how much penetration there was. Because when you're using a lot of lubricant, it's very slippery, and you don't know how far you got. You don't have the same sensation that you would have otherwise. And because you're using lots of lubricant also, it reduces the amount of pain. So it's very hard, in my opinion, to be magdir based on the svara of pain. It's very hard to be magdir. I know that many poskim say it, but I think with the advent of lubricant, it's very difficult. Now, is there a distinction? Yeah, Josh.
If we're assuming that the labia isn't part of the vagina, so then how is there ever full penetration?
Well, no. Full penetration means full penetration into the vagina. That you, as much of the penis that could possibly enter, has entered. Remember, the Rambam writes in Parakeh that b'shas gemar bia, the aver is going to be nichnas with nimme halol, right? Going back to whatever that meant in the Mishnah, and we have no idea. Okay, fine. We're doing the best we can. Now, what often happens is that a couple will have dam, let's say, without full penetration, or not often, occasionally, it's not uncommon, a couple have some dam without full penetration, so they have to separate. Whenever there's dam, you have to separate. Then there's a bia shnia. Now, bia shnia, by the way, could end up being like 15 or 20 days after, no? Because if a woman ends up getting her period a few days afterwards, no? She stops her birth control pills, let's say right after the rabbi says that she's tamei, she stops her birth control pills. Then her period starts 3 days later. No? So it could end up being that she's going to be tamei from her husband for 20 days or so. And that's difficult. That's difficult. So then the couple has an opportunity to be together again. And they have Bia Shnia. And sometimes Bia Shnia also, there is Dam, no? So then this is like disaster land already. Because it's very difficult. You're starting a marriage, and like Klal Gadol that human beings want to have sex. I don't think that's the biggest chiddush on the planet. And the fact is, you can't. So now what happens? So technically speaking, Dam Basulim could continue 2, 3, 4, 5 Bias. It could continue, no? We try to be make on Bias Shnia to the best of our ability because Lamaisa, we don't want couples to have to live in this usher state. So there's a tshuva that Tzemach Tzedek that's quoted in the Darki Tshuva Osa Zayin. Tzemach Tzedek is talking about a woman who was very small and the man was very big. That's basically the story. And she saw Dam on Bia 1, 2, 3, 4, and she kept on being Asura. So the Shaila was like, what are we doing over here? Like, maybe we could be make on her already. So Rabbi Yehuda Leib, who was the Alter Rebbe's brother, who was, he wrote one of the earlier Lubavitcher Siddurs, the Siddur of the Maharil, no? So Rabbi Yehuda Leib, the Alter Rebbe's brother, who's the Tzemach Tzedek's like great uncle, no? So he wanted to be Machmir, and the Tzemach Tzedek felt that you could be Mekel on Dam Basulim to treat it like the Halachos of Ksamim, which is that if you find a Kesem, Pachis Mikagris, obviously we're going to be Mekel. And if it's on Tzavua, you could be Mekel, etc. Reb Chacham Ovadia Zecharon Lavracha on page Tav Kuf Yud in the Taharas Habayis is Mekel on every Bia Shnia that we give it the Kulos of Ksamim. Which basically means that if you find Dam on the sheets, and we recommend to have nothing white around you the first few times you have Bia, you should probably, like we spoke about before, you should probably never have white sheets. But the first couple... Hotels can be a problem, correct? So you can use color towels or something, whatever it is. But Lemaisa, by Bia Shnia, Chacham Ovadia is Mekal, that the will treat the Dam Basulim like the Kula of Ksamim, and therefore, and the Rabbanim and our Yeshiva, Rabbi Willig is Mekal on this also, no? Now, what's the Sura L'Chalik bin Bia Rishon L'Bia Shnia? The Sura L'Chalik is based on the Sefer Aguda and Sefer HaEshkol, who assume that part of the Chumrah of Dam Basulim is a chshash of that there's Chimud Machmas Bia. And if we're assuming that's based on Chim and Machmas Bia, so the assumption is the first time you have Bia with this man, there's going to be, or the first time you have Bia, there's going to be Chimud. Subsequent Bias will be less Chimud, and as such, it could be Mekel to treat it just like Kulav Ksamim again, but you have to not look right away, because like with any Kesem that's found after Tashmish Hamita, is a potential da'iraisa if you look right away. So you look a little bit later to avoid that issue. Adkan, that's what we recommend for chasanim. And in this way, generally we solve most of the problems. Yeah, of Bia Shnia.
That means that the couple should also wait to wipe.
That the couple.
The woman should wait to wipe herself because if they say, or they shouldn't look at whatever.
You should not wipe yourself right after Bia. You should wait a few seconds or something afterwards.
I mean, that's not gonna help.
What? But for the man, it won't help. In other words, the only time we end up being machmir on a Bia Shnia is if the dam is found in his aver. Right? If the dam is found in his aver, there ain't nothing I can be make on. So in those cases, you have to be machmir, but short of that, you can... sure that you can be make on. Thought so. Now... Rabbi Abadi, you know, as in Rabbi Simon. It's like the same person. It's like the same person, Amish. I think someone told me that he did a search on his typed out shir notes of Simon's Nidashir, and I think the word Rabbi Abadi was said, like, was uttered around 400 times in the Nidashir. It's like unbelievable. Like, I think Ricky Rothberger told me this, like, whatever. It's like a huge amount. So, Rav Abadi, in his Tshuvas or Yitzchak, Simin Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalet, Rabbi Abadi writes that originally I thought not to write this tshuva because Lamaisa, it's a big kula, and Lamaisa, no one said this kula until me. But then I recognize that often, because of the chumras of Dan Basulim, a couple ends up being together on the wedding night, and then they spend like some 20 days far apart, separated. And in these days of separation, it's very difficult. And the difficulty can lead to kulas that were, well, no, kulas, there's nothing to rely on, but on violating the Isurim of Nigiya, Chibuk, V'Nishuk, and even Isur Bia. And even if it doesn't get that far, it could certainly lead to an Isur of Hotzazer Levatala. So therefore, Rav Abadi writes that he felt that you have to look at the Sugya and come up with kulas for Dan Basulam. Now, what's interesting about Rav Abadi's tshuvas, someone pointed this out to me, that Rav Abadi has a lot of like big-time kulas, but all of his big-time kulas are coming for some chumrah, no? Over here, basically, he wants to be machmir, that people should not violate the isra of Hotzaz al-Vatola, v'hamistayif. And his kula, let's say, of silk screening Sefer Torah is coming from a chumrah, that really there's a mitzvah that every person should write a Sefer Torah. I know the sofer don't like this one, but really there's a mitzvah everyone should write a Sefer Torah. Right, no one likes it, right? Okay, and no one likes this one of Dan Basulam either. But you know, his kulas are coming from the perspective of chumras. So Rav Abadi basically argues that, in his opinion, the pshat in the chumra of Dan Basulam is that we're gozer atu roya da machmas tashmish. We're worried that maybe the woman is really going to be a roya da machmas tashmish, and you're not going to notice. So therefore we say, you know what? We'll be machmir in Dan Basulam. That's the upshot of everything. And Rav Abadi shtups this pshat into the Rush. And he basically says that he thinks all the Rishonim hold this way. And even the Sefer HaEshkol, who says that it's based on Chimud, Rav Abadi works very hard to say that no one holds it's based on Chimud. And even the Sefer HaEshkol, who says it's based on Chimud, Rav Abadi reinterprets. So once the Chumrah is based on Raya Damach Mustashmish, so therefore, he says, Memela, maybe the whole Chumrah only applies in the situation when there's a genuine concern for Raya Damach Mustashmish. But if the woman went to the doctor before the wedding, and the doctor says that there are Basulim intact, so in that case, there wouldn't be Raya Damach Mustashmish. Pardon me. In that case, we'd assume that we'd attribute whatever bleeding there is to the Dan Basulim, or to the Maka that was caused. So whenever I can really attribute it to a Maka, so therefore I should be Mekel. And I can attribute to the Maka when a woman goes to the doctor before the wedding. That's basically the upshot of Rav Abadi's Kula. Rav Abadi sent this to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, no? And in Siman Lamed Daled, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach says, Rabbi Abadi, you're a holy Jew. He actually praises him a lot, no? He calls him Gavra Rabba V'Yakira. I don't know. I guess that's some sort of praise. Like, you're a great man. And he says that, Rav Abadi, if you really are thinking that you can attribute the dam to a maka, so even if she didn't go to the doctor beforehand, attribute it to a maka. So then Rav Abadi writes back to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He says, you know what, if a woman didn't go to the doctor, most women today are Einam Yodim, Benyamin and Lesmolam, they have no idea whether their Basulim are intact or not intact. Women just aren't so familiar with their anatomy. So therefore, you know what, he feels that you should be Machmir unless you went to the doctor. Now, what's interesting in this whole presentation of Rav Abadi is, A, he doesn't really deal with the positions of those Rishonim who seem to be choshish that there's real damnitas over here, no? The Rush in Ksubis is really worried that maybe together with the Dan Basulim some damnitas came out. Although the Rush is motzi from that in Nida, But in this whole Tshuva Ravabadi, he doesn't deal with that issue, ki huzeh. And if Chazal were worried, even though it's a chshash rachosh, as we'd say in Yiddish, it's very far-fetched, but at the same time, Lamaisa, it's a difficult kula. I don't think Rabbonim are really megal like this kula of Ravabadi. Now, it's difficult at the beginning of marriage, and a hanami, you end up spending a long time sometimes when you're usher. It is difficult. I was speaking to Rabbi Hoffman a week and a half ago, or whatever it was. There is one positive element of it, which is that in the secular world, there's a real concern of honeymoon rape, no? In the secular world, there's a real concern that right at the beginning of marriage, even if you were together a heck of a lot of times before marriage, but when you're on the honeymoon, the beginning of marriage, sometimes, and usually it's the husband, gets like so exciting, wants to have bia, and more bia, more boy, and more bia, and that can lead to honeymoon rape. The din of dam basulim in some ways can solve that problem, no? For a halakhically abiding couple. So it is an advantage. It is difficult. Like, no one is saying that it's easy. But Lamaisa, I think, the way Kalaisa has been passing in Kalacha for hundreds and thousands of years, that's the way Halacha should be passing. The Kula of Ravabadi is just too big of a Kula. Like, someone before the year 2000 or 1990, whatever, would have thought of such a Kula. And it's not really found in the classical poskim. It seems that the Pashtus is, it's a difficult kula to rely on. Yeah?
Should we assign
Simon? You have to ask Rabbi Simon.
He doesn't teach Chasanim, though, right?
He does not teach Chasanim. In difficult cases, he will poskim this way. What exactly the Hagdara is, you have to speak to Rabbi Simon. Yeah, Barry.
He's enabled you for the first bia?
Yes.
Isn't that the whole din? The whole din for your
disim until now. The whole din.
He's saying that there's never a din.
He's saying that there's never a din of dam basulim. If you went to the doctor beforehand, then you know that the din of dam basulim is only if you don't know if you have basulim, and you can solve the problem by going to a doctor. That's basically Ravabadi's kula. It's a big kula. Okay. It's a huge kula. Yeah.
The doctor went the other way. There are no basulim.
If there are no basulim.
Yeah.
If the doctor says that there are no basulim, he's also makel. If there are zero basulim that remain, right?
Like isn't that
the standard doctor? I don't know everyone is in that way. I think the Chassid again, we spoke about the Shevet Halevi, there might be Machmer in that. Ramosha is makel in that case. That the doctor says no basulim. Yeah, so the standard psak is that we're makel in that case. Correct, Josh?
So wouldn't that be just being
now? No. Now, if I know for sure one way, then I could be Mekel. If I don't know for sure, then I have to be Machmir.
Either way, it's fine.
Yeah. No, but you have to know for sure something.
You have to ascertain one way.
When was the Din of Damasum ever sent then?
Din of Damasum was sent before they had doctors. Before.
But both
Again, I think this is one of the real difficulties in his tshuva. Again, read the tshuva yourself. It's Simon Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dala, continues in Lamed Hey. Read the Yeshuva yourself. I think this is the Pashtus. Okay. Lamaisa, there's a lot more to say about these topics. Shilos of Dam Basulim, it's very important. First of all, I encourage all of you, like, we're spending a full year learning Nida. We need more Chassan teachers. Somehow in the world now, Kala teachers, like, very popular. Lots of women become Kala teachers. We don't have enough Chassan teachers. We need Chassan teachers. Guys are spending a full year learning Nida well. I encourage all of you to spend the time to speak to other Chassan teachers to learn how to teach Chassanim. That's point one. And one of the important things when you teach a Chassan is that you encourage that they speak to you by the Bia Rishona. Afterwards, like if there's any question whatsoever, too often people are more machmir than they have to be on the Bia Rishona. And that really leads to, so we're not really sure what we're doing, so Bia Rishona will be machmir. And then what's going to happen is we're going to be together again later, and then there's going to be real blood that comes out, and then we're going to be machmir again. And then Bia Shlishis, it could also be real blood. These chumras that you come up with are very bad ideas. And if people ask shailas, more often than not, asking shaila asking shalos is a way to come up with kulas. Again, we're not talking about illegitimate kulas, not legitimate kulas based on the consensus of poskim, but it's very important for chassan teachers and kala teachers to encourage people to ask. Ask shalos. It's not such a... And what I do when I teach chassanim, honestly, I don't think I taught any of you in this room, but when I teach chassanim, I tell them that on your wedding night, I'm going to have my cell phone near my bed. And you could call me 2 o'clock in the morning. Again, I can't say I'm happy to take the phone calls. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. But Lamaisa, I'll take the phone call, and you know it's important. Or often, you know, a couple decides that we'll just be poresh until 7 a.m. or 6:30 a.m., which is like a more reasonable human hour, and then you call somebody. And that's, you know, that's the way I think it should be done. And kulas in this area are not so schwer. Once you have paskin like the Sidrei Tahara, the kulas are really not so difficult. Thank you for listening, Chevra. Have a good day.